Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
2 Timothy chapter 1, let's begin there tonight. We're studying and looking at specifically the subject of fear for the purpose of not only deliverance or being delivered from it, but also I would say preventative maintenance for your soul or your heart, because the Bible says of the last days that fear will be so bad that men's hearts will fail them for fear of that which is coming upon the earth. Now, I know that they saw it. They knew it prophetically. They had the law and the prophets to read. So they read. They could read Ezekiel, wonder about the Ezekiel 38 war. They could read Isaiah and wonder what the different prophecies in Isaiah, what they must have meant. But, you know, we are living in a day and an hour that is just literally just hourly producing fear. And there are layers of fear and layers of deception that are all over the world that are being used to manipulate, intimidate, control. Much of what's going on in many of the dramas of the world are designed to cause you to choose a side. They want you to choose. Now, let me just help you real quick. As a believer that understands things about the last days, you ain't got but one side, honey. Amen. You say, well, is it this side? No, there's not but one side. Let me help you. Amen. And his name is Jesus, and that's where you need to stay, and that's where you need to stick, because that right there is going to keep you on the straight and narrow and keep you from being deceived or entering into a deception that's going to be maintained and used to manipulate you, control you, and intimidate you by fear. Yeah. Amen. I mean, we've got all the fear right now. Of these crazy wars that are raging around the world and all the things that are going on in the world and the potential of how they might be in seed form planted even in America. Amen. And people think, well, you know, as long as I can get up every morning and go to work and everything's fine and there's groceries at Kroger and, well, you got to understand something, church. You know, things can change in a day. Yeah. Very quickly. Yeah. Amen. I heard some things today on some just regular news about, you know, they had 900 earthquakes over in Iceland. There's a big volcano fixing to explode. They've had several solar flares. They're talking about one that may even knock the internet. Let them knock the internet down for a couple of weeks. See what that does. Yeah. Woohoo! That's going to be fun. Amen. Well, in the midst of all that, you better know something about the Word of God, about the love of God, about the faith of God, and about how to resist waves of terror and fear that's going to sweep across this world. And we're not really experiencing it right now, but other places in the world right now, they are experiencing literally storms and waves of terror and fear. And I don't care who you want to point to of this and that and what kind, it really doesn't matter. It's cause and effect really has nothing to do with what has brought it to this point. They're using it for something other than what it looks like on the surface. So you got to stick with the Word and stick with the faith that it produced and stick with the reality that God, in the midst of this, the closer you can get to God, the more He can have His hand on you and keep you from a lot of this stuff that's coming upon the earth. Because God hasn't given us up to be punished along with the world, or, listen to this, or to incur the wage of other men's sin. Because there are men on the earth that can commit sin on different levels. You say, what do you mean? Well, there's just many of us don't have the wealth or the power politically or the power to really commit sin on certain levels. Other men do that they control nations and they control flows of energy and food and things like that, and they manipulate it for their own purposes, and people are hurt and people suffer because of it. Honey, that pays a wage, and I don't want to be there when their paycheck comes in. There's a wage to sin, amen. And we're living in a time when it doesn't take long to grow a crop. Now, 2 Timothy, let's start there just for a moment, and let's just kind of look at the Word this evening, because I tell you, the Word will set you free, amen? Verse 7, we all know this verse. For God, everybody say God. Now notice, hath, past tense, hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, everybody say power, and of love, everybody say love, and a sound mind. Now, you know, this indicates here, but we could prove it also because we've studied enough on renewing the mind that you cannot have a sound mind if your mind's being tormented by fear. I mean, you cannot have a sound mind if your mind is being tormented by fear. Amen. And I'm telling you, fear is such a debilitating thing. If it ever really takes hold of you, I mean, until you fight into victory, you'll live in torment. I mean, you know, my mother was a tremendous prayer warrior, and she suffered and fought some battles with fear that were unbelievable. I mean, the enemy literally did some things to her that were supernatural. Rob did something to her in her dream world that made her feel like she had committed an unpardonable sin. Just would heap fear upon her. And, you know, my dad would minister to her, others would minister to her, try to keep her. But that fear was so strong, it was palpable. You could sense it when it was in our home. Am I right, Alan? You could sense it when it was in our home. It was so strong. But you could sense it when it was gone. Because she walked in victory a lot, but she fought that battle a lot too. And thank God she went home victorious with the victory. Amen. But you know, God doesn't do that to us. He doesn't give us. Now notice it says the spirit of fear, but that's a small s. Now a lot of preachers say that's an entity. Well, I don't disagree that there is an entity because I've had to speak to fear. I've ministered in ministry lines praying for the sick and walked up to somebody and put my hand on their head and automatically knew the reason they're not receiving is they're in fear. And that's not a bad thing because I'm telling you, to sit across the desk from a professional who has examined you over a period of days or weeks and comes back with a report, that's an intimidating thing. He's not trying to intimidate you. He's just trying to give you information. But that intimidates you, especially if it's a bad report. And a lot of people right there in the doctor's office, they get into fear. Because they get a report that's negative. There are other things. Financially, that can happen. That happens in relationships, at jobs, different places like that. But then we have this overlying drama of life that we're all living this life right now on planet Earth. And just the drama going on upon the Earth right now with the world system and all that's going on that has such spiritual roots. Do you understand that? That's why I'm not in fear, because I'm close to those roots. I'm close to God and to the spirit realm and the spirit world. And I know, like what Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep me. Amen. To keep me and to keep that which I've delivered unto Him. He's talking about your faith, which you've delivered unto Him. God's going to keep you. God's going to take care of you. And listen, God's not going to let the church leave some stinking negative testimony on the earth. We're going out of here as a glorious entity, a glorious body. And when this whole earth is shaking in fear, we're going to be at peace. Just like when they're sick and infirm, we're going to be healed. When they have poverty and lack, we're going to be blessed. Everything that's going on in the world that is designed by the devil to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. We get to live apart from that in the blessing of God, not under the bondage of what He's using to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? Now, go if you will. Go to the gospel. Go to the gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 4. Now, let me just for a moment. Mark chapter 4. You know, I believe everything about the Bible is supernatural. The way He placed the books in the Bible, the way He did chapter and verse for reference, everything about it, I believe is was divinely inspired by God. Now, in this story of Mark, that the Holy Ghost, God, the Word of God, Jesus, inspired Mark to pen and to write, he begins with this, for lack of a better word, with this binge of miracles in which Jesus is doing. And these miracles are taking place and people are being fed. And then after that, he goes into this period of time in which he's teaching on the most important parable, the parable of the sower, and a couple of parables connected to that. And now at the end of that, he begins to approach Mark chapter 5, because Mark chapter 5, Jesus defeats the three D's. He defeats demons, everybody say demons, the madman of Gadara. He defeats disease, the woman with the issue of blood, and he defeats death in Jairus' daughter. Amen. So while all that's going on, where he's over in one place and he's teaching and he's preaching, he's got to go somewhere else. So these other things, so the Spirit of God is leading him. In the meantime, you've got verse 35 that says, now this is right after he began to teach his parables, and now he's ready to move. Everybody say move. So God's always moving, amen. Verse 35 says, in the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. There's an indication that he was even in a boat there, teaching in a boat, preaching out of a boat. Seems like that was one of his customs because the crowd would press upon him. So he just says, man, let's go to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. Even as he was, that's the indication there that he was in the ship teaching. And there were also with him other little ships. And there was a great storm. There arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat unto the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Now see, we read this and we put ourselves in the position of the disciples. That's our problem. You should put yourself in the position of Jesus. The storm raging, you got enough peace to sleep. See, that's what we do. We put ourselves, the disciples weren't born again. The disciples hadn't been taught by the Word of God. The disciples weren't filled with the Holy Ghost. So we automatically put ourselves in the boat with the disciples. And that's not where we are. We've been redeemed. Amen. So we're in Christ now. He's the vine. We're the branches. He's the one providing everything that we need to produce the fruit of God. So in reality, when we read Mark chapter 4, we should not see ourselves as the disciples. We should see ourselves in Christ, which means in the midst of a storm, if you study the scripture, you'll see that it's a demonically inspired storm. The same kind of storms that we have in our finances, that we have in our health, that we have in our minds, that we have in our jobs, our families, our businesses, and sometimes we even have in the natural. But it's the same kind of old demonically inspired test, trial, storm, or trouble. Yeah. Amen? And in the midst of any test, trial, storm, or trouble, you should be able to lay yourself down, even if the ship is full of water. Amen. Jesus wasn't worried. So we have to go back and put ourselves, because we're not like that. We haven't studied redemption enough. We're not making enough confessions. We're still thinking, you know, we're like the disciples. We've got to go back and see what they did. Well, they did what was right. Now notice this. Notice this. He's asleep in the hinder part of the ship. It says, on a pillow, and they awaken and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now notice. They awoke him and they said, don't you care that we're all going to die? Isn't that what they said? You know, I've had a few don't you care questions asked me over the years. Then my answer's always been no. Why? I'm not going to carry the care of the ship, the boat, the water, or the unbelieving disciples. We go, we've been through some storms. We know we've been through some storms. It's better to go through with your head on the pillow. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. But they did the right thing. What did they do? They woke up the Word. And they asked a question, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and sea, said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, one translation says, as there was a demonically inspired storm, there was also a divinely inspired calm afterwards. Yeah. Great storm, woo! Great calm, yeah. Come on. Great storm, great calm. But now notice what he did. After that, his answer to them was not in proclamation, but in demonstration. There'll be times in your life, especially when you should be believing, when you've slipped over into some doubt and unbelief, that God may correct you by manifesting something that you see as a blessing that you need to look back on and say, now, wait a second, because the Bible says to do what? Look for the mercy of God. Before you start patting yourself on the back about all the faith you've got and how good you can pray. Amen. It's best just to give him all the glory. So they wake him up, but then he turns back to them. Now notice this, I think this is cool. He arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, said unto them, peace be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, now why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now notice, it says, they had feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, when he said this to them, he's saying it like this. He's questioning them. He's like, perplexed. Why'd you wake me up? That's what he's saying. You know what he's saying to them? He's saying, you got enough power in you just through exposure. How much more power should we have through birth or new birth? Through exposure, he expected them, don't wake me up. I'm sleeping. I've been teaching all day, preaching all day, and we're headed for a great revival on the other side of this thing. And because some little old devil said that my word is not true, what was his word? Let us go to the other side, which meant if the ship would have sunk and they all would have died, he already gave the word.
That's right.
We had to rematerialize on the other side, alive and ready to do the will of God, because it was God's word. I said it was God's word, and he's not a man that he could lie. Amen. Now, with that in mind, how's my time? Oh, I'm doing good. Go to Isaiah 41. This is something that we've taught on and taught on. But I'll tell you, these scriptures will help you. And now notice this. The ones with the opportunity for the greatest amount of fear were the ones that were closest to Jesus. Now notice that in Mark, before we run off to Isaiah and get, you know, knee deep in that. The ones that had the greatest opportunity for fear were the ones that were closest to Jesus. Now, you need to remember that. You say, why? Because I found myself in some places in the world by myself, without my wife or without my ministry team or my crusade team or anything like that, just me, thinking, where am I at? What am I doing here? You know, I mean, the enemy knows how to mess with your mind. He can't read, listen, Satan can't read your mind, but he knows how you think. He's had your lifetime to study you. Amen. And he's a master study. He knows how to do it. But here's the good news. As you grow in Christ, you continually fool him because you're not the same person you were last Wednesday, last Sunday, 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, 2 years ago. You're not the same person. You keep growing up. And the more you grow, the more you look like Jesus. Come on, church. And that's more and more intimidating to him. Now, here in Isaiah 41, let me just read it here for a minute. Y'all are very familiar. We've taught on this many times. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. They that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Even them that contend with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. Now notice, verse 13, for I, the Lord God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, for I will help thee. Fear not, now listen, fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Now, I brought my Passion Bible. Some people in the church blessed me with this for a Christmas present. I so love studying this, but something really caught, I had studied this before, and the last time I taught on this, I was going that direction and didn't make it, so I'm going to make it tonight. In the Passion Bible, listen to it. Do not yield to fear. Notice that's a good term. Don't yield to it. It's going to come. And when it comes, don't yield to it. How do I not yield to fear? By speaking the word. Because fear will come as an emotion. It'll be something that you can feel. I mean, there's fears out there that many of you are familiar with, but you don't recognize them as fear because you've lived with them for so long. Fears of rejection. Amen. Fears of things that may have happened to you in your past. You don't want that repeated. There are all kinds of things that you need to recognize that when they show up, you need to, no. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And in reference to that scripture, that word, the spirit of fear, instead of it being an entity, it literally means the life, the walk that life produces, that all you have is fear in your life. The walk of God does not produce a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. That means if you're walking with God, you shouldn't be fearful. You should be full of power, of love, and you should have a sound mind. Amen? So he says, don't yield to it. Amen? If it comes, it's not wrong for fear to come to you. That's like it's not wrong for you to have a bad thought. It's wrong for you to entertain bad thoughts. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So when fear comes to you, don't yield. Everybody say, don't yield. Yeah. Speak the word. Worship God. Boy, I tell you, that'll run it off every time. For I am always with you. So he's always with you. I'm always near. Never turn your gaze from me, for I'm your faithful God. I will infuse you with my strength, help you in every situation. I will hold you firmly with my victorious right hand. That means he's going to hold you with his word, and his word is who? Jesus. Jesus is the victorious right hand of God, his hand and arm of authority. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, we could take off and teach on the name of Jesus right there. Amen. All who rage against you will be ashamed and disgraced. All who contend with you will perish and disappear. You will look for your enemies in vain. Those who war against you will vanish without a trace. I am Yahweh, your mighty God. I grip your right hand. I will not let you go. I whisper to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you. Jacob, although you feel like a worm, a grub worm, have no fear. Oh, men of Israel, I am here to help you. Now, when it says, oh, Jacob, thou worm, it's actually referring to a specific worm. The word Jacob here, anybody know what that means? That's Israel. Speaking of Israel, oh, Jacob, now that's not speaking to a nation. No, it's speaking to who Israel really is. And you know who Israel really is us. We are spiritual Israel is what we are. Now, here's the thing. In this particular worm, I've got it right here. I brought my glass because it's so small here that I couldn't read it without these. Now, it says David used this term. This is so interesting. To prophetically point to Jesus as he was being crucified, Psalms 22:6. The Hebrew word is T-O-L-A, tola, which is a species of worm found in the Middle East. Then it gives the scientific name. You know, all of them have this scientific name. That reproduces itself when the female fastens herself to a tree and lays eggs between her body and the tree. When the eggs hatch, the baby worm feeds on her living body. When the eggs emerge, the blood remains on the tree as a crimson stain. When Jesus died on the cross, the tree, his blood left a crimson stain, and he gave birth to the church, which he nourishes and sustains us with his body and his blood. Wow. So fear not. What he's saying in that he was, listen, if you get this tonight, you will never fear again. He is giving them a reason not to fear. Because of an event that hasn't happened yet. Did you hear that?
Yes.
He is saying, I'm going to give you a word where you don't have to fear. Because the word that will secure the victory for men and women to walk in faith and not fear, he's not going to die for 1,200 years. So since he's not going to die for 1,200 years, what you need is my word. So I'll put a prophetic clue. I'll put a mystery in the word. See, men didn't know these things for many, many years until all this information began to come on the internet. People began to study different ways the Hebrew language was wrote, different ways that the New Testament was translated, the different things in the Aramaic, the different things in the Latin, how all that stuff happened. And they began to find out that the Word of God confirms and affirms itself time after time after time after time. Not only with the Word confirming itself, but science itself. And every illustration has to confirm Jesus. That's Jesus. He was talking about Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. And everything that God has put into the earth, there is a declaration of his word. Because of that, we are his children on the earth. Now think of this. Think of this. Think of these guys in the Bible. Here's Isaiah. We're reading the prophet Isaiah. Ooh, man, I'm telling you, this guy had the goods. He had vision. We read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We read all these books of the Bible, all these supernatural, all that stuff. All of that stuff, that's ancient stuff. 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years to write the Bible. And here we hold this information in our hands, apply it to our life, and it works.
Yeah.
It works. And in the midst of great turmoil, it gives you peace. In the midst of great fear, you find out what love is all about. I mean, all of the things that... And then as we move forward more and more down the prophetic road, More and more people pull away from God, but then there's a remnant pulling to Him. Because all these things are being revealed and being shown to us in the last days. I mean, that's amazing. So the fear element, notice this. Your exposure, whatever you expose yourself to, your human spirit is like a camera film. Remember the old days when we would take the rolls down to what was it down there on the Super X on the seawall and some of those old drugstores that were around? You know, you'd take those rolls in, and that film, the way they developed those old cameras is that film, that shutter on that camera would open that shutter, that automatic switch would open that shutter and expose that film to light. And whatever was the backdrop or behind that light got exposed onto that film. An imprint was made. Now, your human spirit is like camera film. So if you expose it to light, what will happen? There will be an imprint. Yeah. Amen. Just like in that old technology of taking pictures. Remember where they developed the pictures at? It was always called a dark room. Because once the light had been given, if you exposed or put another exposure of light on, it would ruin it. So it only got one time. Amen. But see, we're not like that. We're called to do what? We're called to live in the light and have those continual impressions. Fear not, for I'm with thee. You know, we know in the what does he say in the new covenant? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age. So many scriptures refer to the last days and how much more that there will be a grace and there'll be a mercy and there'll be faith and there'll be love and there'll be joy and there'll be peace and there'll be prosperity and there'll be healing and there'll be manifestations of God. And a lot of this is beginning to happen and beginning to stir in the nations of the world. And you know why it's happening? It's because people like us, a little few here, a few there, a few here, all over the world, the corporate faith of people that we don't even know is gathering together with ours and opening that door, that window for God to begin to move. And we're heading toward what? What are we heading toward? Now listen to me. We're heading toward the days of His sovereignty. Just like the days when Jesus was born. When all those supernatural events happened and Jesus was born in the manger in Bethlehem. Well, we're fixing to live out those days right here on this planet. In the days before Jesus the Messiah comes back, the whole world right now, the Muslim world is, you know why they're raging in the Muslim world? Because they're told by their imams and their doctrine that if you will rage war against the Messiah will come. Did you know in Israel right now, they're preparing the Hasidic Jews. They're doing everything they can do to raise money, to build a temple, to raise the red heifer. Some of you have heard of some of that stuff that's going on. What are they trying to? But they think they can build a temple and sacrifice a heifer and bleed his blood out and put it on an altar and God will do something. The problem is when they do that, yeah, a God will show up, but it's going to be the God of this world. And the Messiah they're expecting will be replaced by the man of sin. That's the abomination of desolations. But thank God, He's got a plan. Amen. I said, He's got a plan. Amen. In the midst of it all, the church becomes glorious and is raptured out of here and then brought back 7 years later to reign and rule with Jesus. Wow. What must that going to be like? That's going to be so awful. Once a year, we'll all go up to Jerusalem once a year to hear Jesus preach one time. His word will be so powerful. His word will be so strong. It will go into us, into our glorified bodies, our renewed minds, and our born-again spirits, and it will be so much power, it will cause us to be empowered for an entire year. We won't have to go back till next year. It'll remove your wrinkles, grow your hair. Amen. Make you where you don't even care. Be like Pastor Rusty, amen. Carefree, glory to God. But listen to me. One of the reasons I'm doing this is so that you will not, you know, say, well, I'm a fearful person. I need to love. No, so that you will be aware that there is a storm of fear out there. A storm of it. And it's in every genre of life, in our medical realm, in food, and all that type of stuff, and people are trying to put out all these narratives of fear, and there may be reason for some of it. Amen. Don't be a fool. God speaks to you to do something. Take care of yourself. You do it. You take care of yourself, because God will speak to you. Amen. But in the midst of it all, I guarantee you, God's got a plan to keep us in the midst of everything that goes on and everything that happens, to keep us in the midst of it. But we have to keep after God, keep after Him. Because what is fear used to do? You know, I got a couple of minutes. I could do this. If we went back to the beginning, to Genesis, and if we went to chapter 3, and if we saw saw God walking in that garden in the cool of the day, and His creation hiding from Him, and God asking, Adam, why are you hiding from me? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. And that's the first time that word afraid or fear or anything to do, it shows up in the Bible, in the Word of God. And it shows up as an emotion, as something in humanity. But we've got to look back, where's its origin? Where does that come from? If it was put into them, it didn't evolve in them in the garden. Just like iniquity didn't evolve in them in the garden. It came from the one they bowed their knee to. They bowed. Listen, there's a lot of people, oh, these people, all these Satanists, all they're just living high. Let me tell you, they're scared to death. They live in constant fear. And they live in constant fear of two things. Number one, punishment. Number two, death. Because they know beyond that veil there's something they don't want to deal with. They may have billions of dollars. They may have influence. They may be heads of nations. But I guarantee you they live in constant fear. Because if you think the devil can produce peace, you're wrong. He can give you a counterfeit. He can give you a chemical peace. He can give you a biological peace. But he's not going to give you peace in your heart. And that's the place man yearns for peace, is in his heart. Thank God for the Prince of Peace. Amen? Yeah. Lift your hands and worship Him. Father, we worship You. Thank You, Father. You said You would walk with us hand in hand, but it would be Your strength. It would be Your grip. It would be Your Word speaking to us. Walk this way. Walk with me. Thank You, Father. Jesus, we thank You. You said You'd never leave us. You'd never forsake us. That You'd be with us always. Yes, Lord. Lift your hands for just a moment. Worship the Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We worship You, Lord God. Worthy are You, Lord. Worthy are You, Lord. Worthy are You, Lord. Worthy are You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Everything about fear puts you in bondage. Addictions have their roots in fear. Mindsets. A lot of times people will just give up. They'll do that out of fear because they're afraid to try again, because they're afraid of failing. But you can't let failure impart fear to you and stop you from continuing to do everything you need to do in faith. If you do that, what's going to happen to you? Fear is going to overtake you, and fear is going to open the door for the enemy to minister his ministry, which is to steal, kill, and destroy. And so many people don't realize so much of their life where there's been death and destruction and all the things, it's because of fear. It's because of fear. But the good news is you're born again. That took faith. And what caused faith to be available to you was love, because God so loved the world that He gave us not only Jesus, but He gave us faith to believe Jesus with and to believe His Word. Hallelujah. So always remember that the enemy wants to get you in bondage to fear, and if he gets you in bondage to fear, he has you in bondage to a lie. Amen. Even if he threatens you with death, says you're going to die, you ought to rejoice and say, thank God. My Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. If he says he's going to make you sick or try to put some, say, thank you, Father, that you supply all of my need. And because of that, the stripes that were laid upon your back were the purchase price for my healing. Anything the enemy tries to do to put fear in you, God has supplied a word that will give you a revelation of His love and impart faith to you. Because perfect love casts out all fear. And when you understand God's not going to do it for you, He's already done it for you, then you understand how perfect His love is. Woo, glory to God. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the power of that name, the power of your word, and the power of the Holy Ghost. And tonight, I take authority over the spirit of fear, the life or lifestyle, the walk of an individual that's producing fear in their life. That fear that's manifesting in death or separation. Separation from loved ones, friends, relationships, from jobs, from finances, from health. You're alive from hell. And I bind that fear in people's lives tonight. And I loose that which is of God, which is of His Word and of His Spirit, to bring freedom and liberty. For truly, the Word of God sets us free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you for the peace of God that passes all understanding, and for every storm of life, for the financial storm, for the physical storm, for the storm at the job or the storm in the business, for the storm in the marriage, for the storm with the kids or the grandkids, whatever it may be, we say, peace be still. We're the ones that rise up out of the boat of life. We're the one that speaks to the sea of humanity. And we're the one that says, peace be still in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for storms being stilled and for great calms. Glory to God. Lift your hands and thank God for a great calm. Especially if you've been going through a storm. Oh, hallelujah. Thank Him even tonight that you'll lay your head down. Your sleep will be sweet. You'll rest in the night. That your dreams will be of God, supernatural. You'll be visited by angels. Hallelujah. Why not? Why not? Why not have a God dream tonight? Why not have a Holy Ghost night, a rest in the Spirit? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, I'll do that, Lord. Now, listen to this by the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not going to prophesy, but I'm going to just say it as a word of knowledge. Don't make a decision based on your fear. Now, I'm not going to try to say who that's for, try to pick you out or anything, but I'm just going to say that, and the people that need to hear that, you need to really hear that tonight. Some of you are considering make a decision. You're full of fear. Don't make that decision. You say, well, I have to. No, you don't. No, you don't. Just be still and know. That's what God says. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. Well, when do I make the decision? When you don't have to make it in fear. God says, actually, thank you, Lord. He says He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you understanding. Thank you, Lord. He said He will give you the timing that you need to do that which you need to do. So don't make a decision based on fear. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's just lift our hands and thank God for that. How you can stand on your feet. Go ahead and stand. You've been sitting long enough. Stand on your feet. Lift your hands and thank God for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your word. For the entrance of your word brings light and life to us. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Heaven and earth could pass away, but your word never passes away. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. Stand forever. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for healing. We thank you that we're as healed as we are saved. We resist and reject symptoms. Hallelujah. Yeah, I see that. We surround some of our brothers and sisters tonight that are not well, that are suffering a temptation. We agree that by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're healed. We command symptoms to go, pain to decease, to cease, to stop. Yeah, to decease, that's good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yes, yes. Now, Lord, as we leave tonight, we thank you for the protection and safety afforded us by your word. Thank you, no evil befalls us, no plague comes nigh us. Angels have charge over us. Lord, in our travels, the airways, seaways, highways, railways, any other way of travel or transportation, we declare protection and safety. Angels of God. Lord, in the righteous labor of our hands, men that work in the crafts, contractors, people that work at the hospitals, our medical crew, Lord God, our doctors, our nurses, all those that work in the medical field, our teachers. And Father, we lift up all those that are on the mission field tonight from the church. Hallelujah. For Sarah and Pat, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For others, Lord, thank you. For Judge Ellisor going to Turkey on Sunday. My goodness. Thank you, Lord, for blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for stirring our hearts again. Let us ever be aware that every day we run across people that need you. Let us plant, let us water, and let us trust you for increase. Ha, yes. Thank you, Lord. We'll leave tonight walking in faith and love towards you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the peace you've imparted to us this evening. Father, we leave walking in love one toward another. Thank you for our church. We leave as the ambassadors of Christ you've called us to be. Thanking you, Lord, here at Island Church. We're covered by the blood, empowered by the word, and anointed by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com.